Blog Talk Radio.
I've had a choice of various theme music, and one of the things I thought of doing was going something a little more rocky, rolly, but I love a symphony sound, so when I hear those horns, I just absolutely love it. Greetings! This week I'm coming to you live from beautiful Seattle, Washington, and today it really is beautiful. Another sunny, warm day. I'm very, very happy about that. We're sporting a fantastic view of the mountains and gorgeous vistas of scenic Puget Sound. Now, some of you who don't live near water, you might not know what a sound is. It's a bunch of lakes and streams. You got to see it for yourself. It's really beautiful. This is the Mental Power Hour, and I'm your host, T. LaVon Lawrence, NeuroSculpting Certified Mental Fitness and Brain Training Consultant, Mental Training Instructor, author and designer of the NeuroSculpting Mental Training System for life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, stronger mental discipline, and willpower that enhances brain health and brain fitness. And like I say every week, the true measure of brain health and brain fitness is not whether you can perform well at particular brain training games and puzzles, but whether you can carry out the self-determined purpose of your life. Can you do what you set out to do? Can you carry out your will? Or is your mind impotent and you find yourself unable to be who you want to be, do what you most sincerely want to do, and have what you most sincerely deserve? That is the true measure of brain health. When you can do what you set out to do, be who you've decided you're going to become, and have in your life what you've decided that you really want to have, then you are actually tapping in to your mind's potential to live a significant life. That is brain health and brain fitness. And while you're at it, you can go ahead and perform well on brain games and puzzles if you want to, because they do have their purpose and their benefit. Fact: a person of average physical talent can outperform a person with superior athletic ability by becoming a mental athlete to compensate for the difference. I'm going to say that again, because most of you know what I'm talking about, because there aren't that many superior athletically able people. It's a rare trait. Most people have average athletic ability. Most people are average. That's why we call them the masses. A person of average physical talent, the average person, can outperform a person with superior athletic ability by becoming a mental athlete to compensate for the difference. You can last longer, you can go stronger, you can reach higher levels by becoming a mental athlete. Fact: a person possessing above average natural athleticism can become a superstar performer by giving as much attention to the development of mental skills as they do physical skills. More consistency at a higher level, going longer term, mental athlete, not a star that burns bright for a short time and then fades away as though it never existed. Fact, if you can do something as simple as practicing conscious control of your breathing, you can boost your performance and change your destiny in athletics and every other arena of life. Now, guys, I've got a phrase for you. You can write it down if you want to, but I suggest that you do write it down. I've used it in one other show before, and it definitely applies here because we're going to build a great training show around this concept because it summarizes what you need to know in order to be a superior athletic performer and a superior performer in life. Because I'll tell you this, I don't care if you're a Super Bowl level football player, a Pro Bowl player, a professional athlete in hockey, in basketball, whatever. If off the court, if outside the arena, if off the field, you don't have the same level of superior performance and self-control and discipline and results, then you are not a superior athlete. Kids, middle school, high school, and college, you need to think about how to become a superior mental athlete, because physical athleticism will only take you so far. The list of fools who have ruined their lives because they have relied solely on their physical skill in athletics can stretch around the world a dozen times. Physical ability will only take you so far. It is the master of the mind that dominates over the long term. And the phrase I'd like you to remember, the phrase I would suggest that you write down is this. If you have forgotten breath, then you have forgotten attention. And thus, you have forgotten everything that is most important. If you have forgotten something as simple as breath, as breathing, then you have forgotten attention. You do not own your attention. It is working on automatic. And if you've forgotten attention, if you don't have conscious control of your attention, then you've forgotten everything that's necessary to raise your destiny to a new level. It's true in sports. It's true in business. It's true in your personal dealings. Attention control, mastery of attention, is the absolute most fundamental mental power that you have access to, necessary for ultimate success. If you have forgotten breath, then you have forgotten attention. And thus you have forgotten everything that's important. Folks, have I got a show for you today. Better mental focus in sports and other competitive arenas. We're going to go over why the standard rules, the standard skills, and the standard benefits of mental focus itself apply to you in the sports arenas and other competitive arenas. There's no getting away from it. You can't just be good at the game you play. You've got to have mental focus skills. The rules apply. If you're just good at the game, you may go somewhere, or for most cases, you won't go anywhere. Most people don't become professional athletes. For every professional athlete, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who participate in that particular sport or competitive arena and do not become professionals. They go out and they become doctors, lawyers, engineers, construction workers, secretaries, personal assistants, fast food workers. But the standard rules apply. Mental focus. It's much bigger than simply being able to play the game well. Mental, we're going to talk about mental focus as a cognitive absolute, and that's what I'm talking about, because it affects your entire life. You can't just figure out how to be effective in the game. You've got to be effective in every area of life. Matter of fact, if you can be effective off the court, outside the arena, then it's much easier for you to be effective in the arena, on the court, on the field, on one side of the chessboard. I told you, this is about competitive arenas. And if you're not, if you don't understand that mental focus is a cognitive absolute, a mental absolute, then your mental focus is weak and you are going to pay major penalties one way or the other. And I like that term, major penalties, because we are talking about sports here. We're going to talk about ending the habit of distraction off the field, outside the arena, off the court, so that it makes it much easier in the game itself. And we're going to talk about mastering the skill of centering your attention, hence the phrase, if you've forgotten breath, then you've forgotten attention. Thus, you've forgotten everything that is most important. And it starts simply with breath. Look at any sport at the absolute top performers over the long term, not the ones that just come in and they're bright for a bit and then they disappear. I'm talking about over the long term. You're talking about the essential fundamental skill to control attention. The ones who are absolute superstars, who go so far beyond everybody else and stay that way over the long term, over an entire career. And you may not have the ambitions to do this for a particular career, but you want to make sure you're excellent now for however long you're going to do it. The ones who are superior superstars are superior performers, not talking about popularity, but the superior performers over the long term who are in the top percentile. It's attention control that does it for them. So we're going to talk about the mastering the ability to simply center your attention, because that's where it begins. To get to a level of unconscious competency, to be able to center your attention instantly and keep it centered, and the ability to direct it where it needs to go, when it needs to go there, for however long it needs to be there. We're going to talk about mastering something that I phrase as your attention bubble, your bubble of attention, your ability to perceive the things around you. That bubble of attention, not the fact that your senses are working and that, you know, information is being pumped into your senses from the external world. Like you open your eyes and you look straight ahead, there's a bubble or a range of things that you can perceive clearly, and then things start to get fuzzier on the outside of your vision. Same with your hearing. Same with your sense of smell. Things get fuzzier the further away they are. That's a perceptual bubble, but your attention bubble is what you are consciously attending to. We're going to talk about mastering that attention bubble, widening it or making it wider, narrowing it when necessary, but controlling it consciously. And we're also going to talk about your mastering attention zones, being able to target your attention where it needs to be targeted, outside yourself, but also on your own body and inside yourself, on how you're feeling inside and the thoughts that are going on. We're talking about high-level stuff here, guys. the ability to master it so that you don't even have to think about doing it, so that you can hit the big shot consistently, score the goal, be the great defender, perform at a high level at all times, to not collapse under pressure, to make pressure a word that's foreign to your vocabulary. And this applies very well not only to sports. Again, we're talking about competitive arenas. We're talking about in the classroom, on the job, in your business. Now, one great benefit of this show, why is this show so valuable? I'm going to give you seven approaches. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what they are right now, and then we're going to get into detail. I'm going to give you a four-step attention control and centering practice routine. I'm going to give you four practice routines that you can use to start mastering your ability to center your attention and begin controlling your attention, so that you can direct it where it needs to go while in the game. And you can, of course, speak with your coaches and make sure you all got it down pat where your attention needs to be and when it needs to be there and how it needs to be directed. Where is your attention bubble? How big is it? What's it supposed to take in? What are you supposed to know in the moment? How are you supposed to see the game or the plays unfolding? And when to react? We're going to talk about thought control. How are you supposed to be talking to yourself? Are your thoughts distracting you? And what kind of thoughts are they? You must not only have your attention under your absolute control, you must have your thoughts under your absolute control. Because your thoughts have to contain the right content. Your self-talk has to contain the right content that empowers you, that helps you. And you've got to know when to shut it down and just go in the flow in the present moment so that you can be in the zone, the peak performance zone that does not require you to think, but simply requires you to perceive what is occurring so that you can understand not only where the ball is going or what's being done with the ball, but where the ball is going, where the puck is going to end up. You can see things unfolding and be there before it gets to its completion. You can be almost a prophet, the Nostradamus of your game, of your competitive arena. That, of course, requires intuitive mastery, which, of course, requires attention control, which simply starts with your ability to breathe on purpose. So, we've got a lot. Oh, and one other thing. I'm also going to give you a three-step practice routine that you can use so that you can apply attention control and centering yourself not only on the field, on the arena, on the court, in the arena and on the court, but in your life so that you can become a master performer and not just on the court or in the arena. Now, you're welcome to call in during the show. Ask any questions. Phone number is 347-884-9397. 347-884-9397. Now, if you can't call into the show, you're listening perhaps you've gone in after the show and you're listening to the training archive, then you can always contact me personally by leaving a message at 904-638-3851. I'm a busy guy. You know that. But you can leave a message and I will get back to you. I always do. You can email me. Send your emails to trainer, T-R-A-I-N-E-R, at neurosculpting.com, N-E-U-R-O-sculpting.com. How do you apply these things, this knowledge, to your particular sport, to your particular competitive arena? That's something you may be curious about. How valuable is this show for you? You heard what I just said. Do you want to be a superior performer? there's certain understanding, certain knowledge, and certain skills you need to get in your cognitive toolbox. We're going to discuss those. It can change your destiny. And if you're already on the path to the destiny you want, this will speed you up and make you more efficient so that you're not weaving right or left of course. All I ask in return for giving and providing you this information is that you share it with somebody who can use it. There's a Tweet This button on our Blog Talk Radio show page. Use it. There's a Facebook button. Use it. Befriend us at Facebook. Our Facebook profile is www.facebook.com/dynamicmentalfitness. Be a friend. Hook up. We'll make sure to let you know when we're having some free, no-cost brain training webinars. And these are real training webinars, not marketing webinars, where somebody just gets you in there, gives you a little bit of information, and then starts to hit you up to buy stuff. That's not the kind of webinar I give. Go ahead, friend us on Facebook. We'll let you know about the webinars, and I guarantee you, you'll get more out of this webinar than you've ever paid for anyplace else. That's how valuable this is. Got a free gift for you. If you're not a member of the 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness course, it's a free, fully contained mental training course that gets you started in the arena of mental fitness. I mean, if you're an athlete or you're someone who's looking to be an athlete or get into competitive arenas, you want to be a mental athlete if you're going to outperform everybody else. Of course, you're not going to necessarily outperform everybody else if they, too, are mental athletes. Then you really are in a competitive arena. But becoming a mental athlete changes your destiny, makes you superior in performance to the average person. You need to sign up for the 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness course. All you got to do is go to www.neurosculpting.com, NEURO-sculpting.com. Look up top. There's a tab that says free 7-day course. Go in, slap in your email address. You'll get a confirmation email. Make sure to check your spam folder. See that it doesn't go in there. Take care of that confirmation email. You'll get a follow-up email telling you where to go to download your 2 PDFs, training PDFs, 7 Days of Better Brain Fitness, and The Power of Mental Concentration. Make sure to let your Facebook friends know that you're listening to something of high value. And if you check our training archive, our archive of training shows, we don't do talk shows, we do training shows here at Blog Talk Radio. If you go to our show page, look at the shows we've already done. I call that our training archives. You're going to find something there that's really good for you or somebody else. Make sure to let somebody know that they're there. You got shows on mental focus, shows on mental concentration, shows on thought control, shows on attention control, shows for students, shows for professionals, executives, business owners, athletes, seniors. Great stuff there. Share it. Let other people know. And, of course, this show is sponsored by the NeuroSculpting Training Studio for life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger willpower and mental discipline that enhances brain health and brain fitness. Next week's show is going to be a good one. We're going to talk about better mental focus for students. I'm on a roll with mental focus. This entire series is about mental focus. We've done it for business people. We've done it for sales professionals. Today we're doing it for athletes and people in competitive arenas. And next week we're going to talk about mental focus for students. And that includes adult students and career people who have to take tests in order to advance in their arena or who are enrolled in college and going to night school. Better mental focus for students. Next week on Blog Talk Radio. Big disclaimer. The information we provide on the Mental Power Hour is for educational and entertainment purposes only. We do not claim nor suggest you ignore the advice of legitimately qualified mental health care professionals. If you feel you may have a serious mental health issue, you should consult your doctor. And if your doctor has any brains, they'll tell you, hey, you mean to tell me you didn't listen to the Mental Power Hour? Are you nuts? Better mental focus for athletes, for sports performers, and other competitive arenas. Now, in this, standard rules of mental focus apply. Now, I'm not going to rehash all the basics and fundamentals of mental focus itself so much, because I've done enough shows where you can go into the training archive and listen to them and learn everything you need to know about training yourself for mental focus, including techniques, philosophies, and approaches. This radio show has provided the public with everything you need to know about attention control, thought control, mental concentration, and mental focus, and even willpower. This show, hours upon hours upon hours of training. So if you need to know something about mental focus, all you got to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com. And our profile is Slant Brain Fitness Training. I'm sorry, Brain Training Fitness, B-R-A-I-N, _training_fitness. Or you can go into the search at blogtalkradio.com, just type in mental concentration, or type in the mental power hour, and we'll pop up. You check that archive of shows we've done in the past. You've got everything you need to know there. And it doesn't matter whether you're an athlete, business person, professional, military, working mom. Everything's there. So I'm not going to rehash that information. You've got it already. But I am going to tell you this. The standard rules do apply. You've got to decide where you want to go in your sport, in your competitive arena. You've got to have absolute clarity on what you, the path you're going to take, what you're going to do. If you have not decided, if you have not made a decision to be your absolute best in this particular sport or competitive arena, then what you have decided is to flounder, to waste your time, to just maybe have fun and not really go anywhere. That's not the target demographic of this particular episode. This particular episode is for those who are looking to achieve something significant and have those skills, those mental focus skills, transfer over into life itself. Do you think Michael Jordan is a multi-million dollar businessman because all he cared about was basketball? Do you think that Magic Johnson, who's running a multi-million dollar business empire, do you think all he cared about was being able to win an NBA championship? Do you think that was all he was thinking? No, these guys have true mental focus, and they applied, they used the game to get ahead in life itself. So the standard rules of mental focus applies. You should listen to the other mental focus topic shows that I've had on this so that you can actually learn the fundamentals of mental focus itself and master them. The standard rules of mental focus skills apply. Now, we are going to talk about mental focus skills in this because it is important. You've got to have absolute attention control. You've got to be a master of what you do with your attention. You cannot operate on automatic. You cannot be an automaton, a mindless machine like most of the population on this planet. You've got to decide that you're going to drive and operate your mind. You're going to wake up, snap out of your funk, and decide that you are going to be master of your life, of your mind, of where you're going to go, and that you are going to let nothing stop you. Your thoughts are not going to stop you. Your negative self-talk, your fear, your personal intimidation, none of those things are going to stop you. Matter of fact, you're going to eliminate and eradicate those things and entirely replace them with thoughts and self-talk that empower you, that move you forward, that inspires you. You're not going to let other people and their opinions stop you. You're not going to let other people get in your way. You have control and you are the owner of your own life. The standard rules and skills of mental focus apply. But the good news is, the benefits of mental focus apply to better mental focus in sports and athletics and other competitive arenas. The benefits apply. When you decide that you're going to be a master of the particular athletic arena that you're involved in, the particular sport, the particular competitive arena that you are involved in, when you decide that you're going to become a master at it, you're already beginning to benefit the rest of your life, because most athletes do not make that conscious choice. They want to be better than everybody else. They want to make the team. They want to win the championship, but they don't make the conscious decision that they, as an individual human being, are going to become a master, literally able to turn around and be a coach of that particular sport. If you're not able to coach, you cannot possibly be the best. You should be able to coach your sport while you're playing it. That's how good you want to be. You want to be a mental athlete. You literally want to know everything there is to know about your particular sport. That kind of ambition, that kind of self-discipline automatically flows over into the rest of your life. You cannot have that particular that attitude and it not affect the rest of your life. It should affect your classroom performance. It should affect your personal performance in your finances, in your discipline, and how you relate to other people. You cannot make a personal decision that you're going to be a master of your sport and then go out in the social life and act like a fool. A master would never do that. A master decides that they are a representative of their sport. And they want only the highest results from themselves and from others. Water seeks its own level. Masters don't hang around with fools. Masters have no interest in people who half-step. They don't keep that kind of company. The best seeks out the best. That's a conscious decision you should make if mental focus is going to be applied to your sport. If you want better mental focus, you want to be the best, that means you want to be a master. That means you've got to be so good and so knowledgeable about your sport that you can teach it to others. Blindfolded. The standard rules of mental focus apply. And again, if you want to know, if you want to have, if mental focus is so important to your sport, that you should decide that you're going to be a master not only at your sport, you're going to have to be a master at mental focus, which means that's the only way you're going to be a master at your sport, is to be a master of mental focus. When you watch the National Football League coaches, National Hockey League coaches, National Basketball League coaches, the professional baseball coaches, listen to the language these guys use. It's all about focus, concentration, performing under pressure. You should decide that you are that coach. Now, again, mental focus is a cognitive absolute. That means the level of your mental focus is the level of your entire life. Your entire life. It's a cognitive absolute. Your level, remember, water seeks its own level. if your mental focus in the game, and I'm not talking about just playing the game itself, like you've acquired some skills through practice, if your mental focus is at a low level, then your life is at a low level. If you develop and build your mental focus in the game itself, remembering that mental focus is a cognitive absolute, it will affect your entire life and raise it up because it will raise your performance in every area. Now, I am talking about mental focus. Listen to the other mental focus shows to understand what mental focus really is. It is the conscious, real-time control of your attention, thoughts, emotions, physiological impulses, and actions simultaneously. And it works in three time periods. You are controlling your past thoughts and associations. You are controlling the present moment, what you're doing with your attention, and you are deciding what your future is. You are working all three angles at the same time. You are controlling your attention, your thoughts, your emotions, your impulses, your drives, and your actions all at the same time. It's a huge, hugely impactful cognitive skill. That's why it starts out on such a basic level of attention control. Because I cannot tell you, hey, I need you to suddenly master your mental focus. Because you don't know yet what attention control is. You've got to learn to control your attention. Then you'll be able to apply your attention consistently, which means you're now delving in mental concentration. And when you've got mental concentration down, then you're able to control mental focus itself. Now, I've done shows on mental concentration and attention control. You got to listen to them, guys. Now, we're going to talk about a little bit about those skills here because I've got seven things that I need you to really be ready to practice on. But if you want to know, if you want to master, you got to listen to those shows so that you can know everything you need to know about it. Mental focus is a cognitive absolute. As goes mental focus, so goes your life. Period. That's all there is to it. Close the barn door. It's over. You either have high mental focus or you have low mental focus, which means you are either fulfilling your potential or you've got some work to do. It's a cognitive absolute. You cannot be merely effective in the game. You've got to be effective in every area of life, or your mental focus is weak. And again, major penalties. You can look at the sports news nearly every day, and there's going to be an example of somebody who's great on the field, on the court, in the arena, and who is a tragedy in their personal life. Tiger Woods, love Tiger Woods, master athlete. When he had proper guidance, he was able to focus properly. He had real high-level mental focus, but he lost his grip. Started doing things in his personal life that indicated an absolute collapse of mental focus. Sure, he could concentrate in the game. He could perform on the golf course. But again, mental focus is a cognitive absolute. He did not have mental focus. He merely had attention control and concentration. He had such good attention control and concentration that he was able to win a major tournament on a bum leg. Guy couldn't even walk, and he was able to win a major. that he could do that with attention control and concentration. But what was happening in his personal life, it was absolutely collapsing. And because mental focus is an absolute, a cognitive absolute, he was bound to pay the major penalty. And now he's having to make the total comeback. He's having to get back that mental focus that is not merely limited to attention control and concentration on the golf course. And when he has that mental focus back in his arsenal, look out. They're already predicting he's going to win at least one major this year and at least four tournaments. And that's, I don't doubt that. Because I'm hoping and I'm getting the impression that he doesn't have the distractions he had before, that he has, that he's really focused on getting it done. If he had maintained mental focus before, he would not be in this particular situation. He probably would have already surpassed Jack Nicklaus's records in majors. He would have already been the most winning golfer in history when it comes to majors. It's going to happen. You can bet the farm on it. It's going to happen. Michael Jordan at one point did not realize that mental focus is a cognitive absolute. Got in troubles with gambling, infidelity with his wife. These guys lost mental focus. Michael Jordan got it back, came back, won three more championships, and is now a business mogul, team owner. Got it back. It happens. Magic Johnson lost mental focus, wound up catching a normally fatal disease, embarrassed and humiliated his family, damaged even the sport of basketball. But he got his mental focus back. And now he's running a business empire, helping millions of people, doing a lot of good. You do not need to go through a personal tragedy like that. You do not need to pay the major penalty. I'm telling you now, build not only your attention skills, not only your mental concentration skills, but develop your mental focus skills so that you do not pay major penalties, but so that you can get the absolute benefit. Standard rules of mental focus apply, and that means standard benefits of mental focus apply. It's a cognitive absolute. Get it? You'll get the benefits. Now, the primary thing you're going to need to do as an athlete, the primary thing you're going to need to do is to end the habit of distraction. You have a mental, a cognitive habit of distraction. End it. That is the central theme of building mental focus in sports. Now, again, I want to clarify. When most sports psychologists, when most coaches talk about mental focus, they're really not talking about mental focus. They're talking about attention control and mental concentration. That's what they're really talking about. Most coaches are not trained in how to train others in mental focus. Most coaches don't even really know what mental focus is. They use the term mental focus, but what they're really referring to is mental concentration. Keeping your mind in the game. Now, some sports psychologists do understand this. The majority don't. The majority are just parrots. They don't even know themselves. And that's a shame. Because all that's being done is perpetuating bad information in the sports training world. They're not training athletes to be better human beings. They're training them to do well in the game itself, but not in the game of life. That's pathetic. And until sports psychology gets to that higher level, what good is it? What good is it? What good is sports psychology if all they teach you to do is to be a sports monkey, to be able to perform a few tricks? Your primary goal and primary purpose in developing mental focus, real mental focus, on the field, in the arena, on the court, is to end the habit of distraction. And if you can end the habit, not habit of distraction in the game, the habit, the cognitive habit of distraction, to end that, if you do that, then the cognitive absolute of mental focus will uplift every area of your life. I've done dozens of shows that talks about what can happen in your life if you can simply end the cognitive habit of distraction. That's the central theme. That's your central purpose. That's what you've got to do. End the cognitive habit of distraction. It is as simple as that. And you must do it. Pay attention now. You must do it off the field, outside the arena, off the court. Then it will be much easier for you to do it in the game. You don't train yourself initially in having mental concentration and attention control in the game. You do it in the privacy of your own living room, your own bedroom. That's where you master the skill. So that when you get on the court in the practice field, you don't have to work at it. You already know how to do it. It's already automatic for you. I can take any number of NeuroSculpting online training studio trainees, hundreds of them. I can take any number of them and place them in any sport, and they will do exceedingly well because they're already training themselves on how to master their attention. Nobody needs to tell them to get their head in the game. They're already training to do that. I can take someone who's a member of the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training Studio who's never played golf, who's never shot a basketball, who's never played football. I can take them to a coach, hand them over, and the coach will not have to work at keeping them getting their head in the game. All the coach has got to do is teach them some skills, and they'll take care of it themselves because they know the fundamentals, the academic understanding and information of attention control, and they practice it. So that the coach doesn't have to yell at them, hey, come on, get your head in the game. Their head is always in the game. They will learn faster, they will acquire skills at a much more rapid pace, and they will begin to outperform those who have superior athletic ability, physical athletic ability. And they will last longer. They will contribute to more people on the team. They will contribute and think about the entire team because they will be more interested in being masters of the game itself. And they are more likely to become assistant coaches and player coaches because of that, because they become masters of the game. That's what a NeuroSculpting mental online mental training studio person is more likely to do. They're more likely to succeed because they have that interest in the mastery of attention, to end the habit of distraction off the field, outside of the arena, and off the court. And it becomes much easier on the court. Now, I've had coach after coach after coach ask me, okay, T. Levon, how do I get my team more focused? Well, coach, you've got to learn what mental focus is, and you've got to learn what the mental focus skills are so that you can coach your team on these things. Half the coaches disappear. They don't want that kind of skill added to their job description. They just want to yell at their athletes. Come on, get focused, get focused. What's your problem? Come on, I'm going to need you to get focused now. I'm going to need you to get your head in the game. But they can't tell the person how to do that. Laziness, just sheer laziness. Mental laziness. Because then the coach says him, the coach can't teach that skill until they acquire that skill. And many coaches don't have it. They just manage to stick around long enough and learn enough to become a coach. It's stupid to demand mental focus from an athlete, from a player, and not be able to teach it to them. It's stupid. It's inefficient. It costs time. It ruins the player's potential, the athlete's potential, when you are not able to give this skill to them. Now, the remainder of the coaches, of course, they know better. They want to learn. So we get deeper into it. And we talk about, of course, attention control skills. We start at the fundamentals. We start at the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are you've got to end the habit of distraction. Now, many sports psychologists will go immediately into, well, we've got to learn how to center attention. And that's it. They start getting on centering attention, doing the usual sweep of the person's physiology. Okay, you know, center your attention. Where are you right now? Okay, how are you feeling? Relax your muscles. Okay, go. That's so limited. And then they wonder why so many athletes fail to transfer athletic performance into daily life. They're not really learning anything from so many of these sports psychologists or the coaches. Coaches, if you want to really get your team focused, the players on your team, the members of your team, your athletes, if you want to get them focused, you've got to get the skills themselves in your toolbox so that you can train them on that. Well, I don't really have time to be going. You better make the time. Because you cannot demand it. You can yell, you can threaten, you can punish, you can use incentives. And those things may work sometime, but if that athlete, that performer, that player does not acquire these skills, place them in their toolbox so that they can rely on them every time, the way a carpenter knows to open up the toolbox and pull out the hammer, the screwdriver, and the drill. If they don't have that ability, they will inevitably lose focus, lose concentration, lose attention control skill, and they will fail in the game and fail to perform when they need to perform, and it's your fault for not giving them these skills. They're willing to spend hours and hours and hours practicing the game skills, they will practice the mental athletic skills. That is an effective coach. That is an effective sports psychologist. Skills. Not just limited skills, but give them all the skills. Because we want to rely on the law, the psychological law, that mental focus is a cognitive absolute, and it will lift their personal life as it lifts their athletic performance. So we want to end the habit of distraction off the field, outside the arena, and off the court. Not just teach them how to center their attention and then direct it to the right area on the field. Not just yelling, not just demanding, not just giving inspirational speeches, not just manipulating them. You want to know who just an absolute phenomenal coach, Phil Jackson, Los Angeles Lakers, Zen master. He understands these things. Now, he may not necessarily take his players aside because they are professionals by the time they get to that level and say, hey, here are some particular attention control skills because hopefully they have it by the time they get there. But he understands mental focus. And you'll notice that on the whole, Phil Jackson's athletes don't go out in public and utterly embarrass the team. It rarely happens. Now, you've got some incidents where, of course, they do stupid things like Kobe did, that incident he had where he was messing around on his wife with that one particular woman. Of course, there's probably many before that. But on the whole, Phil Jackson knows how to infuse mental focus on his team, which is why he's going to be the absolute, he's going to beat Red Auerbach's numbers by a long shot. He'll probably win one more world championship this year. Probably, I can't say. Boston fans, don't go calling me, giving me grief about it. I'm just saying. I'm a Laker fan. I like Boston. Can't stand Miami. Sorry, Miami folks. Now, if I lived in Miami, I'd be all right with it. Miami's a great place to be. But Phil Jackson is a great mental focus coach. And Phil Jackson, being a Zen master, actually knows how to teach the attention skills. He knows how to teach mental concentration. And he knows how to teach mental focus. Now, some sports teams have sports psychologists on staff that can at least teach centering and directing of attention. They can teach those things. But if a team really wants to have overall superior performance with every player on the team, they need someone who can actually teach all the skills, so that the cognitive absolute comes into play, because you want your athletes and your players to be perform well off the field and outside of the arena. That's what you want, because that then motivates and inspires them to do even better on the field, in the arena, and on the court. You don't want merely a sports psychologist. You want a life coach who can teach these guys or these ladies, these players, these athletes. That's what you really want, to give them the full arsenal and all the skills. So, now that we've talked about the philosophy, let's talk about the actual skills that you're going to need to be a superior athlete long term, to be a superior competitive performer. I'm going to take about a 30-second break, sip some coffee, shake my legs, get the blood flowing, and I will be right back, and we will talk about the skills you need. All right, I'm back in. Huh, drop the call. Gotta love technology. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about the skills you need to be a superior athletic performer. And it's going to start with your ability to center your attention, because that's the basic. Remember, you want to end distraction off the field and outside the ring and off the court. That means you're going to be practicing this ability before you ever even go into the gym or step onto the field or on the court. These are the habits of ending distraction. You've got to be able to master the skill of centering your attention. And here's a statement that is going to be very important. Centering your attention eventually becomes the same as centering yourself. Centering your attention eventually becomes the same, becomes synonymous with centering yourself. In the beginning, that's not the case. In the beginning, all you're doing when you center your attention is you are detaching your attention from whatever distraction is keeping you out of the present moment, is keeping you from realizing where you are and what you're doing. That is keeping you from being in a relaxed mode of superior performance and confidence. You're going initially to center your attention merely for the express purpose of snapping out of your daydream or snapping out of the mental funk you're in or snapping out of your terror and anxiety and worry or anger or frustration, snapping out of whatever your attention had wandered onto that had nothing to do with the game, snapping out of it. That is what you're initially going to learn. So when I say centering your attention, you're going to learn to snap out of it. So when the coach yells at, hey, I need you to snap out of it, get in the game, he's saying, she's saying, detach your attention from whatever crazy thoughts you're thinking, from whatever emotional turmoil you're going through, from whatever you were paying attention to. Actually, you can't even be said that you were paying attention. You weren't paying attention. You were just distracted. Wherever your attention was outside of yourself. The game's going on, and you're looking at a bird flying. Ooh, look at the pretty bird. Ooh, look at the butterfly. Hey, look at the hot chick over there. Ooh, that guy is handsome. The coach says, hey, snap out of it. Get in the game. That's what they're talking about. Right here, right now, where you are, what you're doing. Now, most people, it's going to be kind of like an automatic thing. You might be able to do it. You might not be able to do it. But the habit is one of distraction, of the mind wandering. Once again, I get to quote the Harvard University study that just came out saying that most people, their minds wander 46.9% of the time. A great study. Involved thousands of people, and it involved technology using an iPhone. 46.9% of the time, the mind is expected to wander, even when the mind is engaged in an attention-demanding task. That means while you're on the field, while you're on the court, while you're in the arena, your mind is likely to wander away from the game, away from the event, 46.9% of the time at least. And it's natural. It's normal. So when you are holding your attention, when you are snapping out of it and coming back to the present moment and bringing your attention back to here and now, back to the game, back to the event, you're acting against the norm. Now, if somebody's making you do it, then you're acting in the norm. But if you're doing it yourself, under your own initiative, you're acting against the norm, which is why it makes your brain stronger, makes you more effective, because you're doing it on your own. You're acting against your brain's default mode network. You're acting against the automaton parts of your brain, which means you're acting in a unique and novel way, which releases brain fertilizers in your neurophysiology, which strengthens brain cells, repairs connections between the brain, strengthens those connections, which actually makes you able to communicate, your brain cells communicate faster with one another, which increases your brain power. Simply by controlling your attention over and over and over again, centering yourself in the present moment, knowing what you are and what you're doing on the field, you are making your brain stronger. I've got scientific report after scientific report saying that athletics boosts the production of BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, that strengthens brain cells and that induces neurogenesis, the production of new brain cells. I've got report after report after report on this. Yet, most athletes don't use this new mental, this mental power potential, because they're not training themselves mentally. But when you control your attention on the field, in the arena, consciously, over and over and over again, every time your mind starts to wander, or your attention is tempted to wander off into a thought, you decline it, you refuse it, and you bring yourself back to the here and now, you are building brain power. And I've got scientific reports that say, that give evidence that this kind of mindfulness, this moment-to-moment attention control, literally boosts brain power. Just that ability to consciously control and center yourself while in the game can transfer over to the rest of your life. But it transfers over in the way of skills. If you're doing it easy on the field, then you're doing it easy off the field. But here's the thing. You can't rely on that, because you're not going to have time initially to try to practice it on the field, because you've got things to do. So you've got to do it. You've got to take advantage of your ability to practice off the field so that you can become that mental athlete. That way, when you go on the field, you don't have to work so hard. It's automatic for you. Like I told you, I can take any number of NeuroSculpting Online Training Studio trainees and put them in any sport, and their rate of progress will far exceed the average person. So I'm telling you that you should become your own mental fitness trainee off the field, outside the arena, and off the court. And you're going to practice that skill that you need in your sport. You're going to practice those mental skills in your living room, in your bedroom, while sitting at a restaurant, while sitting in the park, while walking, while relaxing. You're going to practice those mental skills. And you're going to practice them enough every single day so that when you walk on the court or on the field or in the arena, you already have them. Your coach is going to take notice of these things, I guarantee you. Your performance is going to skyrocket. Your ability to learn the game and master the game is going to skyrocket, because you're not going to be distracted. You're going to end the mental habit of distraction. Now, in centering your attention, we're not talking about, you know, in between right and left, like in directions. We're talking about centering your attention between the past and the future. What do I mean by that? Most people, when their minds wander, are wandering off into two directions mentally. They're wandering off into thoughts of the past, or they're wandering off into thoughts of the future, or fantasy. In both cases, it's fantasy. Not an actual future, but fantasy. The mind wanders off into thought, most people. They're thinking about some past thing that happened, a past regret, a past lament, something they think they wish they would have done, something they're angry about or frustrated about that somebody else did. Or they're wandering off into thoughts about the future. What am I going to do in the future? How are things going to go? Man, I can't wait till this happens. I wish this would happen. I wish I had this guy or this girl. I wish I had this amount of money. I wish I had this car. Fantasies. Centering your attention is detaching from those thoughts and coming back to the here and now to know where you are and what you're doing. You're taking your attention bubble, and when you're this is the thing. Oh, man, I wish I had 8 hours to talk about this. I really do need an all-day seminar to get to this. Your attention bubble, what you can perceive consciously around you, that's your perception bubble, but your attention bubble is what you're actually paying attention to. Your attention bubble, when you're caught up in a thought, is microscopic in size. It is entirely immersed in the thought. A thought has three-dimensional composition. You can feel it, you can hear, you can taste, you can touch. A thought, a daydream, mental wandering, you are gone, baby. You are off in a whole different world. You're off in la-la land. That's how real a thought can be. And when you're in a thought, remember that a thought is an electrochemical impulse in your brain. It is microscopic in size. It is so small you can't possibly see it with your own eyes. And yet, when your attention is caught up in it, it's as big as the world around you because you are inside it. Your attention bubble that allows you to pay attention to what's going on around you has shrunk down to microscopic size, so small that it is immersed in an electrochemical impulse in your brain that is so small you cannot see it with the naked eye. It's on an atomic scale. That's how small your attention has become. That is shocking. When you detach from a thought, thought of the past, thought of the future, when you disconnect your attention, it becomes millions of times larger and expands back into the real world, back into reality, back into here and now, and you can now realize where you are and what you're doing. You can actually now realize who you are. When you're caught up in the dream and the daydream, you're asleep mentally. There are things going on around you, but you are asleep mentally. When you detach from a thought and come back to here and now, you are waking up. You are no longer slumbering in the daydream. So, centering is detaching from a thought, but it's also detaching from any distraction that might have happened around you. You see a bird flying around, your attention is on that. It's not in the game. Well, when you center, you detach from the bird, and you come back to here and now. Now, this act of centering is very small. It's minuscule. It's a powerful tool, but it's actually very small compared to what you can do and what you need to do to be a superior performer. When you snap out of it, when you detach your attention from whatever distracted you outside, or you detach your attention from that microscopic size, that atomic size thought impulse, and you come back to here and now, you are now dealing with your attention bubble on a real-life scale. How big is it? What are you able to pay attention to right now? Now that you have that attention bubble, now that you're centered, you can begin to notice what's really going on in the game. But more importantly, you can begin to notice what's really going on with yourself. This is where sports psychology can become really effective from a performance standpoint. Not necessarily from a life application standpoint, but from a performance standpoint. Now that your attention bubble is in the center, in the here and now, you can begin to do something called the sweep. You can sweep your physical form to detect tension, anxiety, fear, anything that is causing you to be uncomfortable. You can sweep your attention bubble to notice as a observer rather than as a participant what kind of inner dialogue is happening inside you right now, the kind of thoughts that are going on in your head. And remember, you're not a participant. You're an observer of these things. You need to know what's happening in your body and mind. The objective is not to become caught up in it, but to notice it so that you can do something about it. You can take an effective strategic action, psychological and physiological action. You can, one, remain detached from the thought. The mere act of being detached from the thought disintegrates the thought. Eventually, the thought has to go away. You detach yourself from its effects. What are its effects? Its effects are going to be emotional and physiological. It's going to affect your body. The content of the thought that you were just caught up in is affecting your body, which is why you do the sweep with your attention bubble. What's going on in your body? Is there tension, anxiety? What's the culprit? Boom, it's the thought you've been thinking. That is always the culprit. Tension and anxiety. The culprit is the thought that you were thinking that you were not aware of, and now you're aware of it, you can do something about it. You can think a different thought. You can focus on an attention target that you've already designed, that you've already decided you're going to focus on. You can use your own breathing to relax yourself and shake off the physiological discomfort. These are things that you can do in the act of centering yourself to get yourself back in a peak performance mode mentally and physically. That is centering. Now, you can watch certain sports performances, especially in golf and tennis, individual against individual. You can watch certain performances and note who is centered and who is not. If you see somebody frustrated in their anger and they're throwing their racket or they're throwing their golf clubs, Tiger Woods, that person is not centered. If you see somebody missing putts, the basketball clanging off the rim over and over again, this is a person who's not centered. They're running on automatic. They're thinking negative and disempowering thoughts. And the thoughts are affecting their physiology. They're nervous. They're anxious. Now, you will also notice these people go through routines to try to get themselves centered. You'll see them shake it off. You'll see them move their shoulders. They'll take their attention and they'll use words. They have trigger phrases that they've already set up to try to relax themselves and get themselves centered. They'll engage in positive self-talk. Some of them will engage in what they think is positive self-talk, but it's negative self-talk. Come on, Tiger. I've watched Tiger Woods do that. Come on, Tiger, get yourself in the game. And it only just made things worse. Sometimes it worked, but most of the time it didn't. And it reflected a poor mental focus. But you'll see Phil Mickelson and guys like that, they have positive self-talk. They use the self-talk as an attention target. But the most powerful, the most effective attention target you can use to center your attention is your breath. If you've forgotten your breath, then you have forgotten your attention. Thus, you've forgotten everything that is most important. If you have never trained yourself to pay attention to your breath, to what's going on with your breathing, then you're missing out on a phenomenon that I call land and expand. When you can put your attention onto your breathing as your go-to attention target, and if you can hold it there long enough, you can notice first the tension and anxiousness in your chest, in your diaphragm, in your torso. That's the first thing you're going to notice. Because you've landed on your breath, that's your target, right? And you're holding it there. You're breathing in deep, okay, because you were breathing shallow. I guarantee you were breathing shallow. It's a sure sign of a poor performance mental state, shallow breathing. What are you doing with your breath right now? Are you breathing shallow? Are you folded over, okay, and are you kind of curled up? Some people go into a near fetal position and don't even realize it. Snap out of it. Go to your breath. Get out of the funky mental state. Ignore those thoughts. Go straight to your breath. How are you breathing? Deepen it. Now, when you're doing that, you've landed. Now you're going to expand. You're going to be able to notice what's happening with your body. You're going to do the sweep. Remember, land and expand. You have an attention bubble. It was microscopic in the thought. Now you just expanded it onto your breathing. You just increased its size by billions of times. You now notice your breathing. And you're going to take action. You're going to deepen it and relax your breathing. In order to relax your breathing, you're going to relax the muscles in your diaphragm. It's going to be easier. Why? Because you're not caught up in the thoughts you were thinking, which means you're not caught up in the emotional effects of those thoughts. You're about to fix the physiological effects that those thoughts had on your body, the tension and anxiety. So you're breathing. Now, you're going to have to learn to do this very quickly, which is why you practice off court, which is why you practice away from the arena, away from the playing field. Because you want to get good at this. You want to get fast at this. You want to be able to do it instantly. What is your breath? What are you doing with your breath? Okay, you got your breath. Now put it in a rhythm. Now you're going to expand. What's happening with your body? Are you anxious? The first place you're going to notice it is in your chest and diaphragm. You're going to breathe. You're going to, okay, you need to relax that. Now, it might be a little bit more difficult because now your bubble is expanding. You now notice the tension in your arms and legs and lower back and upper back. You're going to shake that out. Come on, shake it out. But continue breathing. The more you continue the deep and steady and rhythmic breaths, the easier it's going to be. Why is it going to get easier? Because the more you do it, the less you are caught up and participating in those stinking thoughts. And while you're doing it, guess what else you're not doing? You're not engaging in negative inner dialogue. If you're talking to yourself, you are at risk. It's a waste of time to even say positive things to yourself at this point. Because you are jumping the gun. You're getting ahead of yourself. Land and expand. Go immediately to your attention target, which is your breathing. Get it into a deep, relaxed, rhythmic pace. Allow your attention to expand to your chest. See if you can go ahead and relax those muscles. Let it expand out to your arms and your legs. Shake it out. Continue your breathing. Now you're cooking with Crisco, guys. Now you're starting to get control. That is centering your attention. This you must practice off the field. Your mind is not caught up in thoughts of the past or thoughts of the future. Your attention is not caught up on a distraction around you. You have disconnected from distractions. You are now directing your attention, centering it. Later on down the line, you'll discover that centering your attention is synonymous with centering yourself. Right now, you're not looking for that. You're just looking to center your attention. Now, what are the obstacles you're going to run into? It's the same obstacles you encounter in everything when it comes to being distracted. Your obstacles are habitually wandering attention, drifting. Your mind is drifting. That's your first obstacle. Your key, your solution is attention control training, learning how to control your attention. It's the primary thing. That's what we're talking about right now. And it's less about how long you can hold your attention, but where you put it. Primarily, initially, it's more important to be able to put it someplace other than the thoughts you're thinking or the thing that distracted you from the outside. Where you put it, use your attention bubble and bring your attention to your breathing. Let that be your first key because it's yourself. Now, I could tell you, okay, pick a target outside yourself, a dot, a tree, a bird, anything. Make that your attention target. But you know what? That's not you. If you can put your attention on yourself first by going to your breathing, now you're tapping into personal power, and now you're doing those things I told you that have an impact on your brain's actual neurophysiology. You're now beginning to build a better brain. You're teaching your brain new skills that will impact your entire life. So, you put your attention on yourself. Start with the breathing. Land on your breathing. Then you can expand to your physical body, the tension in your chest, arms, and legs. Shake it out. Keep breathing. You've just done something that is absolutely amazing. And you did it not on the court yet, not on the field, but you did it off the field. Now, that is centering. The more you hold your attention on center, the less you'll be involved in negative self-talk and distracting imagery and distracting external stimuli. Master that skill off the court. Practice it over and over and over again. Me personally, I would practice it an hour a day. Break it up if you have to. I'd go at least an hour. But then again, I understand its importance. It's got to be important to you. Practice this. You will then be able to effectively and quickly go onto the field in the practice field and start applying what you've learned. Because your obstacles are wandering attention, mechanical thought and self-talk. That negative self-talk, those mechanical thoughts, that kind of unwanted thoughts that you keep drifting off into, that's mechanical thought and self-talk. Your attention wanders into this stuff, gets caught up in it. So when you center, you're detaching from mechanical thought and self-talk, and you're coming back to the present moment. Your solution for mechanical thought and self-talk is thought control training. Because eventually you're going to have to decide what thoughts you want to think when it comes time to think. You're going to have to decide what you actually want to say to yourself when it comes to self-talk. Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it to fate. You decide. That is a fundamental of mental focus. You decide what you're going to think, when you're going to think it, what you're going to say to yourself, and when you're going to say it. Everything else is nonsense. Your mind is not to be caught up in thought all day long. You decide when you think. The other thing that gets in your way is mental fatigue. Mental fatigue. And most of the time, the mental fatigue that you experience is not because you're actually physically tired. It's because you've been thinking these thoughts mechanically all day long. When you begin to center yourself and detach yourself, you won't believe the amount of energy that will start to become at your disposal. And, of course, the last thing that's going to be getting in your way is external stimuli. Oh, my goodness. You're on the pitcher's mound. You're behind the golf ball about to try to make sink that long putt. You're behind the chessboard and you need to make that right move. You cannot be distracted by things around you. So, you know what I'm going to do, guys? I am going, the show is going to be over. I really needed to program a longer show, but it's going to be over. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a part two to this show, but right now what I'm going to do is I've given you that technique. We're talking about a four-step process. Go ahead and practice this attention control and centering while you're sitting down. Remember, breath, bubble, expand, and sweep your body. Practice it while standing up. Then practice it while walking. Practice engaging in actual action while controlling your attention, centering, expanding, breathing. Then you're going to practice it while doing mundane acts, brushing your teeth, combing your hair. Always centering your attention, expanding your bubble, and noticing and releasing anxiety. Then you go to the practice field and see if you can practice it in the smallest of things in your field. Then you're going to practice always staying present. Guys, I got to go. Thanks for tuning in to the Mental Power Hour. Make sure to tune in for next week for better mental focus for students, for better test scores and grades. And make sure to contact me if you have any questions. Thanks for tuning in.